Greetings, everyone. This is Jonathan Alexander, editor of College Composition and Communication, and I'm here today with Joyce Inman and Rebecca Powell, authors of the article, In the Absence of Grades, Dissonance and Desire in Course Contract Classrooms. Joining me also is the editorial assistant for the journal, Allison Zuba. Joyce, Rebecca, thanks so much for chatting with us today.
Thanks for having us.
So, I always want to start by asking a little bit about what your paper is about in your own words. People have had the chance to read it or will have the chance to read the article. But for you, what's at stake in this article? And how did you come to write about grades?
Wow. So there are two pretty different questions. Maybe we'll start with sort of how we got here. And really there's sort of, I would say, two different reasons we started this particular work.
Yeah, so one reason is we wanted to join the conversation that was going on in our institution about student success. And we saw that conversation being framed in ways that really had a deficit model about students, about what they lacked. And we wanted to turn that conversation, particularly within the basic writing program, to what students were capable of. And we thought that the Behaviors and Labor Act and a course contract would do that. So we wrote the Student Success and Retention Grant. And that was part of what began this work, was that grant and wanting to enter that conversation with other institutions.
Yeah, most definitely. And we also, and this might seem selfish on our parts, but we wanted to do some work together. We found that we needed and wanted, desired thinking partners, someone to write with, to contemplate what was happening in our own classes, to talk about as WPAs, as teachers, as scholars. And so we really were interested in thinking about work that we could do together. And so as we pitched this grant, one of our thoughts was, this is something that would allow us to work with other faculty, to do workshops, to talk to them, to really invest in students in classrooms that weren't just our own. And so that was the other reason that we came to this particular work.
Yeah, so really the beginning of this work is about being in dialogue mm-hmm. with the place where we are situated, the institution, being in dialogue with each other.
Yeah.
And being in dialogue with eventually students in composition classrooms, and what that really means.
You're also in rich dialogue with people nationally, people who are really thinking hard about grades. And your article, actively looks at the research, in particular Sal Inouye's work on course contract grading and things of that nature. So I'm curious, what would you hope to see in the larger profession, or even nationally, shift as a result of your current research and your dialogue with scholars across the country?
You're gonna have the same answer. You go first.
Okay, well, let's see if we match. Okay. I think that we want to, what we came to realize in doing this research is I've been using course contracts since 2008, and I would have told you that course contracts universally are good. And I would say that about a lot of things in composition studies that I have adopted and done in my classroom, but I haven't held those things up to see how students experience them.
Yes.
And so what we hope comes of this article is re-examining everything within the light of student experience and honoring that experience. So a tenet of feminist criticism is that people are the experts on their own experience. And students are the expert on how they experience kind of what we think works in writing studies. And if they have a different experience than what we think is going on, we need to pay attention to that.
That was the answer I was going to give as well. We were really excited about that aspect of the work that we're doing and the way that we hope for all of our colleagues sheds a light on asking ourselves as we think about our students and our scholarship, have we asked students? Have we actually gotten their feedback on what we have presumed perhaps is best for them? And then have we listened to that feedback? And then what do we do with it once we get it?
And that's where we are. What do we do with it once we get it?
It seems so, so important. And I think about how many people in our field will do their own assignments as a way to build community with their students, but actively engaging students in thinking through because structures of assessment and grading. I mean, this is foundational in feminist pedagogy, but also in critical pedagogy more broadly. And so I really appreciate your interventions here. How has your teaching really changed on the other side of this article? Obviously, you've been building up to this work for some years now. If you reflect back on what your teaching was like 10 years ago and what your teaching is right now, after you've published this piece, what's really fundamentally different for you?
That's a good question too. So for me, I like to think that I've always been a good listener in the classroom. I love that about myself, but I will say that I know I'm much more conscientious about that, especially when I am presenting the course contract. I've also built in my course a number more checkpoints than I had previously in order to make sure that my students and I are on the same page and that I'm listening to them. I've given them a number of different ways to provide me with feedback than I gave before, so that I hopefully enable each student, no matter what their learning process or communication process, to give that feedback if they feel it necessary or important. And then because I also work with our graduate instructors on the Hattiesburg campus, it's changed how I talk about grading and response significantly with those graduate instructors who come to me expressing an interest in course contracts.
Mm. Yeah, I was thinking about it, and then the word that comes to mind is a weird word, and I'll see if I can quickly, it's unrest.
Ooh.
It's unrest.
Unrest.
Interesting.
A productive unrest that this research has spurred. I was not in a course contract classroom when we did this study. I used course contracts in my other class, but I didn't have any students.
Right.
I was outside of it. I was the pedagogical person for the instructors, and Joyce was the comfort person for the instructors. A kind of deep unrest with things that I would have said, this thing is something that is useful, of really always kind of trying to see that. Because I've been teaching for a long time. I've been teaching since 2001. And so a lot of things I would say, I have that in my bag, and this is a good thing, right? Mm-hmm. And so just kind of a productive unrest about everything that I do, trying to see it skewed and trying to think about what it means on the other side and what it means in their lives, right? Mm-hmm. And what attachments they have that I am unseating,
denying.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And how much attachment is part mm-hmm. of pedagogy. Yeah. Attachment to so many different things. And so really that's where, as uneloquent as that is, because I hadn't prepped for that question.
We didn't set up a contract ahead of time, did we? Sorry.
But that's what came to mind, was just kind of a productive unrest that I think is useful, but it's also, as all growth is, right?
Unsettling.
It's unsettling.
Yeah.
I love it. I think it's actually extraordinarily eloquent to think about productive unrest. And your article really beautifully thinks through attachments. What are people actually attached to? And in unexamined ways as well. So Allison, I'm not going to ask what you're attached to, but you teach and are still a student. So I'm kind of curious about your reaction to this paper, or if you have thoughts yourself.
Well, as a student, as a burgeoning ret comp scholar, I'm definitely attached to feminist theory and practice, feminist theories and practices. And Rebecca, you spoke a little bit to this a couple minutes ago, but I'm curious if you could say a little bit more about how feminist approaches inform not only your pedagogy, but also your scholarship, and perhaps even your collaborative work on this paper.
Mm.
So, first of all, the thing that we began with was that people are experts on their own experience, but also I think it's really dumb to think alone. And I think that that's something that a feminist term gives us, is that part of thinking and part of research is about being in community, and that we are always better thinking together than we are thinking alone. And so I, while we both published separately, it is never, I think, either of our first impulses.
No, it's not. And even the work that we publish separately, Rebecca's going to read.
It's
still very much informed.
we just assign one author.
Yes, exactly.
And so I think that becomes a rub, right, with institutions who don't know how to count those things.
Yes.
But it's a rub that we're kind of like, figure it out. this is a way of thinking and being and how we want to be in the world. When it comes to thinking about pedagogy, we're really wrestling right now with desire and how we honor desire, and how students' desires in the classroom. How do we? Because desire is a moving point, but it moves in all directions. And so being faithful and honest to that, without trying to
force yet another sort of
foist
interpretation, without trying to foist desires.
So we're deep in desire right now, with thinking both pedagogically and research wise. I know that you've done some work on desire too.
I am. You have my complete attention. I am absolutely interested in what you're thinking about, because I sense the struggle. I think a lot of myself about desires in the classroom, the desires that students bring, the unnamed, maybe even inarticulable desires that all of us bring.
Yes.
Yeah. So the different ways our field has approached desire. So mm-hmm. I mean, sort of grappling with all of these different perspectives, from sort of ludic feminism to queer theory, in terms of, what is desire, where can it be situated, who judges those desires, and everything from institutional desires to the desires of the student.
It sounds fabulous, and if you're looking for a collaborative partner, let me know. I think this is very exciting. I wish you the most generative unrest possible as you grapple with these desires. We've been talking with Joyce. I'm sorry, Rebecca, did you have a comment?
Did you answer your question well enough? Do you want to add one? I don't want to feel like I spoke over you.
You have satisfied my desires. We've been talking with Joyce Inman and Rebecca Powell. They are the authors of In the Absence of Grades, Dissonance and Desire in Course Contract Classrooms. You can read it in the September 2018 issue of CCC. Thank you both so much.
Thank you.